with you guys this morning. Anybody up for a joke this morning? Good. It's a nice, clean joke. It's a really good stuff. Here is a couple. How did he start? Okay, this is how he started. I'm trying to learn how to be good with jokes. This is my first joke at this campus. There's a knock at the door. That's the way it goes. And so I just want you guys laughing and pretend to laugh even if you don't feel like laughing. Okay? There's a knock at the door, and the wife tells the husband, "Honey, somebody's at the door." And he looks at it and says, "Who is this at 3 in the morning? We're calling us right now." So he goes grumpily, walks down the stairs, opens the door, and it's the neighbor. And he said, "Will you come and give me a push?" And he says, "Go away. It's 3 in the morning. We can deal with it in the morning. Just go away." And he shuts the door on him, and he comes up, and he says, "Who is it? Oh, is that neighbor again? He wants me to come and give him a push, you know?" And the wife told him, "Honey, you should do it, because you remember some time back our car broke down, and we were out there in the middle of the road, and we needed a push. You need to go help him." So he said, "All right, fine. He puts on his jacket and all that stuff, and he goes down, and he opens the door, and he's really dark out there. And he said, "Are you out there?" He said, "Yes, I'm here." I said, "I need a push." "So where are you?" "I'm on the swing." All right. Come on. Okay. I didn't say it the way. I'm not Bill Johnson, but I'm Faustin. See, Bill Johnson gets a better clap than I do, don't I? Right? But I'm getting there. You know? I'm coming along, you know? Well, the topic I want to talk to you about is a title that I gave it. It's called Sleeping with the Enemy. Because I've been sort of waiting on God and been really asking the Holy Spirit lately. And I said, "God, why is it as we as Christians can be in that fullness of God, why is it we as Christians, we lack of not able to just jump right in the river?" How many agree with me on that? How many kind of understand what I'm trying to say? Why is it, God, that, like, why do I have to struggle? Why, like, we were at our last meeting and we were talking about soaking. My wife, Marina, you tell her to soak, she just slips in right in. She's gone for about an hour. I'm still trying to find out where do I start. My mind is still operating under, well, have I taken care of that? And have I taken care of this? It's like I am an administrator by my brains. And so my left brain works very quickly than my right brain, you know. But I started asking God, I said, "What is it, God, that we need to really seek you with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind? How do I fulfill that commandment? How do I follow that?" And so this message is, you probably, many of you have heard it in different ways, but I felt we need to really touch on it. Because, you know, we as Christians, sometimes we are in denial. Like, I'm a new creation. All things are new. Old things are gone away. I don't need to deal with my past. Everything is over, taken care of it. But why is that? Before you become a Christian, the things that I'm going to put myself, if I was probably 35, 36 years old when we got saved, if I'm correct over there, we got saved at the main church. And back home in India, growing up as a youth, I loved smoking, I loved drinking, I loved partying, I loved doing all the stuff that I wanted to do, you know. And when I became a Christian, when I gave my life to the Lord, I wanted to give up smoking. Very quickly I gave it up, but drinking was something I was struggling with it. And I said, "Man, I really don't want to drink this anymore. I don't want to do this." But I was battling with it. I was into pornography. I was battling with it. And of course, I went into Encounter Weekend. I went for this and I went for that. And God started dealing with my heart. The things that we do before we became a Christian, and if it is still in you after you become a Christian, there is a problem. How many are with me on this? The things that you do before you became a Christian, things that are not good for a Bible believer, somebody who lives in the Holy Spirit, believes in the Word of God, who lives in the Holy Spirit, but you still struggle with it to this very day, that addiction is a problem. How many would agree with me on that? So we are in denial Like, oh, wait a minute, I'm a born-again believer. We walk with the label, I'm a born-again believer. I am a Christian. But why things of the past are still following you? Why things of the old still following you? Well, maybe that was a bit too deep. I'm not into alcohol, and I'm not into this, and I'm not into that. But I find very hard to forgive somebody. But I get angry very quickly. I like to use this and that, and I like to really prove myself. And so if there are things of the past of your life that you led, and you bring that into your today's Christian walk, and you're still battling and fighting with it, it's because there is an underlying issue in our heart that we need to work on. And I want to touch on that a little bit this morning, with your permission. You know, David said, "Search me, O God." That's a pretty dangerous prayer, in my opinion. It's a very dangerous prayer. It says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offense way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." I thought about this scripture. We've heard this so many times. It's like telling God, "I give you permission to dig out in my life and tell me some of the hidden things that I am struggling with, and I want you to remove it out of my heart." So he's basically going to ask you to stop watching TV. How can I stop watching Friends? That's a great show. How can I stop watching? I used to like watching Raymond those days. You know, man, he was really funny. I would love watching Raymond. You know, and then there's another Indian guy, the guy who makes all kind of jokes. I forgot his name. Thank God, it's wiped out of my brain. Russell Peter. He would swear and this and that. And my buddy's great, but oh my gosh, I don't know. And God had to deal with me little by little. And I had to say, oh my goodness, God, I really want to. You see, one who wants to follow God's heart will have to pay a price on this earth. We have to let go of the things that you think you like the most. And that's what David did. David said, "Search my heart, oh God." If I could have Carl, there is a PowerPoint which I quite forgot to mention. It says, "Sleeping with the enemy won." If you could have the scriptures on in a moment. Why is God wanting to deal with the heart? Why is he saying, why the heart? Ask yourself a question for a moment. Why the heart? Why is God so interested in our heart? We keep very conveniently blaming the devil. Oh, it's the devil again. It's the devil again. Well, devil has been defeated a while back. Your leader, your amazing Jesus, has won the victory on the cross. He's been put behind bars a long time back. You are free. You know that. You are free. Well, I think we do not know enough about it. That's why we keep going blaming the devil. We keep pointing at the devil. We say, "Devil, it's the devil, it's the devil." Wait a minute, I've got good news for you. The devil is inny, beeny, weeny, weeny, wet, it's just below your feet. There's a big God in you. God's given you a choice. God's given you to make decisions. You make the decision. It's not the devil. Devil has been defeated a long time back. You speak to the devil and the devil is gone. I love the way Bill Johnson said at this last conference, what made Jesus so different than the disciples on the boat when there was storm? He was sleeping in the boat. And the rest of them were all panicking. And when he got up, he quietened the storm. The peace within him came out and calmed the storm. See, when you have peace within your heart, trials and the troubles of life, whatever, can become, the devil cannot touch you. Be gone in Jesus' name. You take your authority. You walk in authority. For too long, we Christians are keep doing this little blame game with the devil, with the devil, with the devil. Are you guys with me so far? Well, let's look at some of the scriptures before we get into the real message. In Matthew 12, 32 to 33 to 35 says, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for the tree is known by its fruit. Next one, please. You brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak what is good? For the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. Next one, please. The good man brings out good treasure, what is good, and the evil man brings out evil treasure, what is evil. This is the words of Jesus, not something that I made up. What's in your heart, what will come out of your mouth? What if you have good stuff in, good stuff will come out of you. If you got bad stuff in, bad stuff will come out of you. You wonder sometimes, why are my children doing some of the things I don't want them to do? Why is it I'm doing these things that I don't want to do? We want to get to that in a minute. Let's get to the next scripture, please. In Matthew 15, verse 18 to 19. But the things that proceed out of the mouth comes from the heart, and those defile the man. For out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, thefts, false witness, slanders. These are the things which defile the man. Watch it. But to eat with unwashed hand does not defile the man. He's talking about religion. Let's not be religious. What you want to do on the outside, what you do on the inside matters to God. Next slide, please. Here's very interesting. Paul, the author, the Paul, the evangelist, Paul, the man who wrote at least 6-7 books, the entire New Testament pretty much. Look what he's saying here. Pay attention to this. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of flesh, sold into bondage to sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand. Pay attention to that. For I am not practicing what I would like to do, but I'm doing the very thing I hate. Next slide, please. But if I do the very thing I do not want to do, I agree with the law, confessing that the law is good. So now no longer am I the one doing it, but the sin which dwells in me. Pay attention to that. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is in my flesh, for the willing is present in me, but the doing of the good is not. Next slide, please. For the good that I want, I do not do, but I practice the very evil that I do not want. But if I am doing the very thing I do not want, I am no longer the one doing it, but sin which dwells in me. What is Paul saying? The very thing that I don't want to do, I do it. The very thing I hate to do, I'm doing it. The very thing that causes me to stumble, I'm doing it. Why? Because the sin dwells in us. You and I are born of sin. But how? See, Jesus died on the cross to give us victory. Jesus died on the cross to give us new creation, make us a new creation. But the sin still is in you unless you confess it. The confessing on the cross has an effect. The unconfessing is still in you. And the unconfessing could be as big as adultery, as small as forgiving somebody. Next slide, please. I'm going to come to that in a minute. How many can relate to, say, yeah, I feel like this sometimes? Take a moment and think about it. I really feel this sometimes. I really feel that I want to stop doing these things. Like, you know, I'm on a 21-day fast from TV. You believe that? You know, Marina can tell you, I love watching Christian Network too. I love watching news. Marina only likes CNN. Somehow she's caught up with CNN. You know, she says, CNN puts me to sleep. I said, that doesn't... She wants to go to sleep with CNN, you know, kind of a thing, you know. Like, she loves CNN. That's not what I meant. She wants to go to sleep with CNN. That's not what I meant. What I meant is that she loves watching CNN and she falls asleep, you know. Laugh, pretend to laugh if you don't, you know. You know. Yet I want to watch shows like Discovery. I want to shows like Food Channel. I want to watch shows like Thanks Really. Man, that's amazing. Look at the guy. He made that boat. Wow, that plane with like the drone. If you watch the drone, this unmanned thing can drop anywhere, kill anybody. Right? It's like, man, that all amazes me. And God was saying, son, put that all behind. I want to really, if you want to follow my heart, put all that behind. I love meat. I go to Rodrigo's house. I love the meat he cooks. Great meat. He puts it on the grill, salts it with sea salting. I can have 3-4 of them like that. God said, how about, son, just take a fast from the meat. So things that I like to do, I'm saying, okay, God, how can I give it up? So I am trying, okay, God, help me by the power of the Holy Spirit. Help me to not do the things that I like to do. How can I avoid it? And here's an amazing story that we're going to read it all together. And this will really get your attention this morning, friends. We say, I'm a Christian. I'm a born-again believer. I read the Word of God. I do the things I like. But you will be in shock to recognize the things that you have done formerly in the past has effect on you even today with your life today. And it passes on to your children's children. Let's read the story together. Now there was a man named Simon who formerly was practicing magic in the city and astonishing the people of Samaria, claiming to be someone great. And they all from smallest to greatest were giving attention to him, saying, this man is what is called the great power of God. And they were giving him attention because he had for a long time astonished them with his magic arts. But when they believed Philip, preaching the good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were being baptized, men and women alike. Even Simon himself, watch this, believed. That means he became a believer. And after being baptized, that means he got baptized. You know, he got dunked into the ocean, wherever, he got baptized. He continued on with Philip, and as he observed signs and great miracles taking place, he was constantly amazed. Let me pause there for a moment. You know, we walk our life as a Christian. We give our life to Jesus. And we look at life and say, man, how did this guy get to do this amazing stuff? Like, I get totally amazed when people just come and lay hands on somebody and God heals them. You know, I'll tell you a quick story. Last Sunday, I was ministering to a gal up here, led her to the Lord. And while I'm leading her to the Lord, the Holy Spirit speaks to me very clearly and says, tell her about her career. And I said, okay, God. So I said, what is it about the career? Tell her that she has taken the second option instead of the first option. I have no clue who this girl is, what she's done, nothing. And I stopped and I said, listen, God is telling me to tell you that you need to go with the first option, not with the second option. And all this while, she was kind of holding back, wasn't really receiving prayer from me or anything. She was just reluctantly praying with me. But her eyes opened, her mouth dropped. She just looked at me like this, like, how did you know that? And I said, I just kept quiet and I said, and she said, yes, I wanted to be this, but I chose this because I couldn't afford it and because I couldn't do this, and I took the second option. And I said, God wants you to go back and go with the first option. And God's going to provide you. She was in shock. She had her hands by this pillar right here because she didn't want to fall. She saw her friend fall and I prayed for him. She's holding a hand like this. And then she said, please pray for me. What am I trying to say? The Holy Spirit wants to move through us. He wants to move through us so beautifully that he wants to change people's life like that. And when Simon saw that, when Philip was laying hands on the people, he was amazed and shocked. My goodness, how did he do it? Go to the next slide, please. And now when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, which means revival broke out, they sent them Peter and John, who came down and prayed for them, they might receive the Holy Spirit. And this gets really, really interesting. Watch this. For he had not yet fallen upon any one of them. They're simply being baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they began laying their hands on them and they were receiving the Holy Spirit. What happened in Toronto Airport Christian Fellowship in 1994? That's what we're talking about. People were blasted. People were like set free. The devils were running away. Signs and wonders were happening. Amazing things were blowing up when these people came and laid hands on them. Imagine. Aren't you amazed what happened in 1994 at our church? How many are amazed? People are coming around the world. We've had over 3 million people walk through that building. We've had over 15 campuses, like a dozen here, and churches around the world because of what God did that day. Let's go to the next slide, please. Now, when Simon saw that the Spirit was bestowed through the laying on of the apostles' hand, he offered them money. Let me stop there for a moment. You know, here he is, probably standing in the line, like the green line we have at Catch the Fire. And he's saying, I want this, what he got, man. I want this. How many have said that? I want what you got. I want God. I want God you to move in me. But instead of pausing and waiting, God, what do you want to do with me? Search me, oh God. Know my inner thought. Know my anxious thought. What is it, God, that I want to trade this morning with you? What is it, God, that you want me to give up? He took out money from his pocket and said to Peter, hey, why didn't you give me what you got? The motivation behind him was wrong. The heart talked what was in his mouth talked what was in his heart. His heart has so much filth that all he thought how he could, in a very swift way, could get this power in himself. Because he was all thinking about how he can become the same big, formerly magical dreams and visions he had and all this big stuff he did, if he could do the same thing again with this new power. The same Christian who's believed, who's baptized, the stuff that's in him is still in him, and he's come this side of the river and he's saying, I want that anointing what you got, but I want it. Can I give you some money? You cannot trade the gift of God with your talents. You cannot trade the gift of God with what you think who you are. God's gift needs to be treasured. That's one of the things I've been pursuing. Lord, how can I seek you more? How can I search you more? I want the depth of my heart to know the depth of your heart. I want to know, God, what you're saying right now in this season, in this very hour, over this country, over this land, whatever. God, what are you saying? How do I know that God is speaking into my life? See, we become so caught up with life. We are so interested. How can I get my little bubble that's around me, how can I get that fixed and how can I be a happy person? But God wants to do more in your life and in my life if you allow him. If you want to be something that you, let me put it this way. If you are going through something in life today and you want to leave all that behind and you want to do something that you dream that I want to have something big in my life, how many would want to have that? Like I am believing to raise people from the dead. Oh, I'm telling you, I am saying, God, I want to do it. I'm on my way to Slovenia in the month of November. The greatest miracle that I've seen in my life is in Slovenia. I have seen a deaf lady, 23 years deaf, healed. I have seen a lady crippled, not during a meeting time. I'm just outside having a coffee break. This lady's with a little stretcher, with a little cane. She's there. And the Holy Spirit says to me, go pray to her. Go pray with her. And I say, okay. I pick her up and I say, let's pray. And the meeting starts. I take her into the meeting. I lay my hands on her. And there were some steps. And I make her walk on the steps. And she leaves the cane down and she begins walking. She began walking. And all of a sudden, she disappears on me. Because I had to start the meeting. And I'm wondering, where's this lady gone? I wanted to have her to testify. And 2 hours later, she comes on a bicycle. And she comes right into the meeting and she tells me, I have not been on this bicycle for 2 years. What am I trying to say? God wants to empower you. God wants to fill you with the Spirit. God wants to do the things that you are, that you cannot. You need to let go of the things that you feel that is really beautiful. The show Friends and or the Friend show or Raymond or whatever things like was good for me. I'm leaning to put it aside and say, God, I want to pursue you. I want to follow your heart. Search me, oh God. Draw me to you, God. Take me to the river. I'm willing to go any length if it takes me. And then he says here, give this authority to me as so well that everyone whom I lay my hands on may receive the Holy Spirit. But Peter said to him, may your silver perish with you because you thought you could obtain the gift of God with money. Let me pause for a moment. The Holy Spirit is a person in the Trinity. He's a gentleman. I would always hear John Arnott say that he's a gentleman. He would stand at the door. He will only come when you invite him. He will only come into your heart if you invite him. He'll never push himself over you. But you cannot use your little money or your little gifts or your little talents and say, I want the God to move in my life. God cannot move in your life if you have hidden agendas within you. This is a very difficult message, but it's the truth. If you have hidden things in your life, if you are captive with sin, like I was in pornography, I was in alcohol, I was in smoking, I had to say, no, God, I'm going to let all that go. I had to confess and repent. I had to sit with Marina and say, love, this is it. I'm done. I'm not going to have any of this in my life. I want to pursue God with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind. If you come fully before God, God will come fully before you. Let's go to the next slide, please. You have no part or portion in this matter, for your heart is not right with God. Therefore, repent of the wickedness of yours and pray that the Lord, that if possible, the intention of your heart may be forgiven you. The intention of your heart. What are you asking God for to do in your life? What should God do for you today? What is it you're asking the Lord for you to do? Is it the nice car, a nice house, or a nice bank balance? What are you asking God today for? I want my little fun. Are you asking for fun? I want this. What are you really asking God for today? Remember, there's something that the Holy Spirit spoke to me. When you become a Christian, you become a public figure. When you become a Christian, because you've been endowed with the Holy Spirit, everybody's watching you. We know stories after stories in the Christian circle. I don't want to name names, who have gone to great heights in the kingdom, but they've fallen flat very quickly. Because they had the anointing, they had the power, they had great church, they had great ministry, but the underlying issue of their heart, they did not deal with it. And that caused them to lose their ministry. Why? Why is God interested in your heart? Why is God not empowering you with the anointing? Why is God not trying to draw you closer to Him? Because you are not willing to let go of the things that you have in your life. If you hold on to the things that you love the most, and you're saying, I want all this, but I want you, God. It's not full of God. It's only a little hand you asked Him. You need to go completely dive in into God's life. You know, I had this dream many, many years ago, where I saw myself running on a staircase, because I'm one of those guys between Marina and I, like to be the front runner, you know. Okay, Marina, let's do this. Okay, Marina, let's do that. Let's win the world. Let's put everybody on a boat, take them to the other side of the island. You know, I'm like all that big dreamer, and Marina is like, say, let's pray, Faustin. Let's wait, Faustin. Let's get back next week, Faustin. Let me think about it, Faustin. Like, by the time she thinks about it, I'm gone to India and come back. I've just done ministry everywhere and I've come back. I'm like, Marina, how far are you thinking? Like, I like to go and do stuff, you know? And here I saw myself running this staircase up, and all of a sudden when I reached on top of the staircase, I saw a huge python, a huge snake. I got frightened and I came running down. Because I had an experience with python at one time. And I got up in the morning and I said, Holy Spirit, what are you saying? He said, son, walk slowly. Walk slowly in the kingdom. Because work with your heart first. Things that are in your heart, deal with that first. The faster you climb up, the enemy is so good, he lets you climb up as high as you want. And then he cashes you in when you're on the top of your life. He goes like when he went before God to Job, and he said, "Can I have Job?" You see, God wants to minister to your heart. God wants to minister to your life. God is interested with your heart, not with what you want to do on the outside. Wow. There are two areas, if you can go to the next slide, please, that Peter got a revelation about Simon. Very important point. Two areas that God spoke to him, and he gave him a revelation about Peter, and he said, "You have a gall," or gal, or gall, what do you call it? A gall of bitterness. Let me stop there. I looked in the dictionary. Gall means bitter, sour. It's like festered heart that he had. It's not like just a little unforgiveness he had. It was like deep-seated, wounded pain, hurt, things that that's what he had. And Jesus just showed Peter about him. He said, "That's what he has. I cannot give him the anointing. I cannot fill him with the love of God. I cannot. That's what is in his heart." And the next thing he told him, "And in the bondage of iniquity." He was captive in sin. Remember this. He was formerly a magician. He tricked and traded and did all tricky things. It was devilish. It was demonic. I hope by opening your eyes this morning to see what God is saying. If we do not deal with the gall of bitterness and the bondage of iniquity, it's going to come and bite you one day. Your unforgiveness towards your husband or your wife or people or whatever is going to fester in there. It's get so festered in there, and it's going to come out publicly. He was standing in the line for prayer, and Peter publicly told him, "I cannot give you because you have a gall of bitterness and a bondage of iniquity." As I shared a minute ago, great evangelists, great anointed people have fallen from their place is because they haven't dealt with those two things in life. How does that two areas of sin affect your life? Where you are today in life, and if you're asking God, "Take me to higher heights, take me to newer things," those two areas could be your biggest stumbling block. You see, let me talk a little bit about hurt quickly, and then we're going to get into ministry. If somebody is, I drive on the road, and I drive pretty fast. Marina's always my co-pilot, correcting me, you know, trying to help me to drive slow. And when somebody cuts me, I get upset and angry, but I get over it when I go home. But if somebody that I know hurts me, it hurts. I'll give you my recent story. I was in the cafeteria doing my little work with Storm, and my computer was giving me trouble. It needed a little access code and whatnot. So I saw one of the IT guys from the church sitting there. And he was in a meeting as well. So I said, "I'll just walk up to him and ask him to just fix it for me so I can get back into the meeting." And he says, "No, Faustin, I'm in the middle of a meeting. You need to go upstairs to the office and get it fixed." And I'm like, "I'm right here. We're right here. Let's get it done," kind of a thing. He said, "No, I'm sorry. I can't do this." I took my laptop and I jotted out to the office and I said, "Guys, what's wrong with you guys? Fix this for me, blah, blah, blah." And I'm kind of mumbled and this and that. And I came back again and I said, "Oh no, what did I do? What did I do? I just got right into the law. He did this to me, I'm going to do it to him. Okay, fine. Can you tell this guy he could have just fixed it for me?" And over the Partners in Harvest conference, the Holy Spirit speaks to me. "There he is. You want to go ask for forgiveness?" "Yeah, Lord, I'll do it later, you know. I'll talk to him later. I'll do it later." And I just ignore him. And I'm walking through the cafe. He's coming right in front of me. You know, how many we have been there in life, right? And oh, no. He said, "Hi, how are you?" This and that. Put a nice face in front of me. And I said, "Hey, man," this and that. I'm talking, but I'm not talking of the real issue of what I'm going through. And then the Holy Spirit is like giving me a little nudge. Come on, come on. You can tell it now. Come on, you know. And I say, hey, listen, man, I should have spoken to you that way. I'm really sorry. Please forgive me. I shouldn't have really come hard on you like that. That was my fault. I repent. And I should have gone and complained about you like that. Oh, you know, it's okay, Faustin. Even I shouldn't have spoken to you so rudely. Like, he's also saying, I had the same issue. So we are like both asking for forgiveness. And I said, wow. And I had a similar incident the other day. I kind of brushed with somebody. And I'm sitting on Monday morning to pray. And I'm like, okay, Lord, this is my time with you. And this man's face comes right in front of me. And I said, oh, no, Lord, what do you want me to do? Call him right now and ask him for forgiveness. I said, Lord, I want to spend time with the Word. You asked me to read the Scripture. I'm going to read this now. And God says, no, son, call him right now. And the Scripture he throws at me, the Lord, he says, when you stand before me with your offering, and if you haven't asked for forgiveness to your brother, leave the offering at the altar and go make it right with him. I picked up the phone and I called him. Hey, listen, man, I'm really sorry. It didn't come out well that day, didn't? He's saying, yeah, it didn't come out well either, Faustin. So he said, yeah, you pushed my button, I pushed your button, did I not? Like, we're friends, right? We asked for forgiveness. We asked for forgiveness. And I said, and I started feeling so lovely that morning. And I didn't read the Scripture, but the presence of God just came and flooded my room. The anointing was so beautiful. God's love was all over me. I didn't read the whole chapter, but the love of God just took me that day through. So primary figures, public figures, or primary figures in your life are the ones that affect you the most. Could be your immediate spouse, could be your dad, mom, somebody at the right beside you. Wow. Thank you, Lord. We're going to do some ministry this morning. If I could request Marcel and Ruth to kind of help us through some songs or some music. What are we going to do today? We're going to allow the Holy Spirit to deal with our heart this morning. How many are up for it? Only 5 hands went up. How many are serious about it? Because I'm telling you, as a pastor, if I'm facing this, I'm sure you are. We all are in the same level. But what you do with your heart, how you allow the Holy Spirit to minister to you, the greater measure of anointing you're going to experience in your life. Remember, anointing does not mean Sunday morning laying hands on the people. Anointing is for your workplace, something like what Tina said, from 12,000 to 32,000, it will just shift. Anointing is something God will bring healing in your marriage. Anointing, God will reconcile people. Anointing will bring truth in your life. Anointing will take you to higher level. That's the anointing. Anointing does not just work in a church. Anointing is out there with you, with your children, with your family, with what you do. That's what the anointing does. Anointing is not just preaching the gospel and laying hands on the sick. Anointing, that's the work of the Holy Spirit. But there's greater work he does through you with your life. He cannot move further in your life if you do not open your heart. All of us are in this boat, including myself, including Marina. Part of our hearts do not know Jesus as Lord. Our heart still struggles with it. Part of my heart still like, okay, Lord, I'm trying to give you all my heart. Why? Because the woundedness of your heart, the wounded spirit within you is not allowing you to acknowledge Jesus as Lord. It's still battling within you. Well, I know my soul, my mind tells me, I know what I know, how to do things. I don't need all this stuff. I know how to handle it. I've done this before. I've been too long as a Christian. I don't need all this stuff. Your mind will always try to pull you away, making Jesus as Lord over your heart. Parts don't really know God as a Father because of hurt and lies of the enemy. Part of your heart doesn't have a full revelation of God as a Father. How can you say, I just know my God is my Heavenly Father? If you don't have a full understanding of it, the part of your heart, that wounded spirit, needs healing. Part of our hearts have been shut off because of pain, also shut off from God. Okay, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to have everybody stand. And I want you to take a moment in your life, and I want you to seriously, seriously consider this. I'm going to ask the School of Ministry to spread around as we talked about. So if one of you can take charge and just spread people around in a minute. How many would admit, I need to have a deeper intimacy with God? Me too. A deeper intimacy with God. How many would admit, I really would like to hear God speak to me? I would really, really like God to show me clarity, open my eyes to see things, where I need to go, how I need to be. How many would we admit, I want my relationship with my next kin, my spouse, really a lot better? I want a better relationship with my friends and families, with people. I want good relationship. Shabbat. We're going to touch on two things this morning. The gall of bitterness and the captiveness of our sin. You're captive in his sin. Those two areas we're going to touch on this morning. But if you want deeper ministry, that's what Mike Way does. A healing room on Friday, where he would spend an hour with you and go layer by layer with you. Or you can come on an encounter weekend where they will minister to you. Or get into a cell group. But Sunday morning, this morning, right now, I want to focus on the gall of bitterness. And if you're captive in a sin, in a hidden sin, your bitterness could be as small as, I'm trying to forgive my ex-husband, but I cannot forgive him. I'm trying to forgive so-and-so, but I cannot forgive him. I'm trying to release him or release her, but I cannot. I'm trying to get out of this, but I cannot. Somebody has borrowed money out of me. I'm trying to forgive this person, but I cannot. Maybe anything in that, some along that line, or maybe something different that you can relate to. I want you to take a moment right now and ask the Holy Spirit, what is it? What is it in me? Search me, oh God. Know my inner thoughts. Every one of you, every one of you, myself, Marina, cell leaders, we all need to examine our heart. What is it, God? What is that one thing that's blocking for me to receive intimacy? Number two, what is the most active sin right now that is constantly lurking at you? What addiction are you in that you're constantly addicted to? Television, food, drinks, alcohol, pornography, lying, cheating, whatever it could be. Galatians says, such will not inherit the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is within you, but you cannot experience the fullness of it if you do not allow God to deal with you. So I asked the School of Ministry students, you can see them, they're right behind you. If you come a little bit in the front here so they can see you. What I want you to do, ladies, I want you to go to them. There are about 5 ladies and 5 men. So come up, some of you can come right here. And I want you to be honest with yourself. And these School of Ministry have had great trainings. They do this on a daily basis where they minister to people. They travel. And this is nothing new to them. And it's confidential because they know how it is. James 5:16 says, confess your sin to one another. What happens when you begin to share what's in your heart, your hidden secret? The enemy has no foothold, no stronghold over you. He breaks the lie. The enemy cannot come into your life and attack that lie or that whatever you're in. And you'll see freedom in your life. You'll see the things that you're suffering with, the addiction that you have, the things that you're finding hard to forgive will just become easy. And I do not want to make this lightly, but I want to say this very seriously. What you do today is what blessing God will send you away. This is what happened to me, and Marina, and most of us here. So I release you right now. Girls, go to the girls. They know exactly what to do. Guys, go to the guys. So I release you to do it right now.